Welcome to Revealing Men, conversations that pull back the curtain, revealing the inner lives of men. I'm Randy Flood, psychotherapist and director of the Men's Resource Center of West Michigan. Today we have Dr. Kirk Brink. Kirk Brink is a friend of mine, and he's been my supervisor for, geez, how long now? Almost 20 years, maybe?
About as long as you've been in practice.
Yeah, seems like. I'm delighted to have Kirk here. He's got a wealth of experience as a psychologist, and particularly in doing group psychotherapy. And he belongs to the Michigan Group Psychotherapy Society. He's been an adjunct professor at MSU, and he's just a wealth of knowledge. And so I just wanted to have you come today and talk about, just in particular, your experience with working with men in psychotherapy and some of the special experiences, challenges that you find men having.
I'm glad to be here to talk about this.
Yeah. So say a little bit about your work. You do psychotherapy. I do specifically men's groups. The other thing about you is that you've been a guest therapist in my men's groups, where I would bring men from my groups to you. And then we'd spend a good half day or a full day with you, just kind of spending time with them and being a guest therapist. And those were delightful times as well.
Well, it's a good place to start, because I want to get men that I see. I see people for individual therapy, and I also see them, much like you, individually and at the same time in a group. And I want to get them in a group, and the groups I do have women in them too. And probably you've found this out. I think Carl Rogers said it. For a person to come into therapy, and I think it's more true with men, two things have to happen. They have to recognize they have a problem and want to change it. Now, the second one is usually not so well developed for anybody that comes in. They want to learn how to change other people, so other people will give them what they want and live comfortably with them. Hmm. So that's where I find having a group and having men and women in the group. Usually when I have them all together, they are supportive and understanding, whereas women will challenge them in the area of the undeveloped self. Mm. And that's where it's very useful to have men and women in group. That's part of why I practice the way I do. And for women, they like to be in a group with men. They want to figure out how men think, because they don't understand it.
right.
So
yeah, their men are on exhibit, right?
Yes.
Tell us what's going on behind that mask.
Yeah, that's right.
Yeah, and I think that your experience with doing some of the men's groups with me, when they'd gather together, you know, it's like you do get to see the difference of what men might be like in a mixed group and what they might be like in a men's group. And both are valuable.
Both. They will talk about things when it's all men that they won't with women.
Yeah. What do you think? What do you think happens with that?
I think that's part of, again, what I find valuable about mixing men with women,
right,
is women will challenge that undeveloped self much more than men. You probably know that on dating sites, a man who gets about a 15% response from women that he wants to get together with is doing very well. Whereas women, they get about an 85% response. Women have a great deal to tell men about that undeveloped self.
Mm-hmm. And so, what did it say a little bit about the undeveloped self? Are you speaking to like emotional intelligence, intimacy skills, a more grounded sense of self, or all the above?
Actually, all the above.
Okay.
Jung identified it's more in the dark side, the piece that is undeveloped, and that they usually come in, as I said, wanting skills. They want fix-it skills.
Right.
How can I fix my friends, my wife, my employer to live better with me?
You see that men are really, really interested and motivated in kind of the outer world.
Yes.
They're kind of, it's almost like we're socialized to manipulate and engineer the outer
world. Absolutely.
And then you're trying to sell them on this idea that, no, we're going to work on the inner world. And it's like foreign territory or like foreign land, right?
It is. And they get rewarded for working with the external world.
Yeah.
So I have to set, probably like you do,
yeah,
the groundwork for this is not going to go as fast as you want it to.
It's very hard for them to...
You will not like that you come in here and you'll have a sense that I have no plan for you. That will be your sense.
Yeah.
And I'm going to expect you to talk about feelings,
yeah,
you know, not about doing things, not about fixing things.
Yeah.
And here will be the good signs that things are happening. People around you will tell you things like, you seem to be more patient. Or they might say, you seem to be less patient. You seem to be talking more.
Mm.
You seem to be talking less. Those will be the sign that things are changing.
Mm.
You probably won't notice them, but people around you will.
Right.
So I prepare men for that. Otherwise, they have trouble sticking with that process to get to that, what I call that undeveloped self.
Right. I think it's Barlaviv. Is that, am I pronouncing it correctly?
Yep.
He talked about thinking in the shadow of feelings, and I added to it and thinking and behaving in the shadow of feelings. I think men sometimes, you know, they scoff at emotion, like emotion gets in the way, and emotion's going to disable me in some way. It makes me weak, but they don't realize how much of what they think and how much of how they behave is in the shadow of so much emotion and feeling.
That is, we'd like to pretend that we aren't mostly feeling and very little thinking.
Yeah.
But yes. So that's, again, a challenge that I think men face. Women want to talk about their feelings. They primarily want to just be listened to.
Right.
Not necessarily solve it.
Right.
And that's one of their irritations with men. They want to solve it.
Right. Right. Well, one of the things, talking about feelings, you know, Charlie and I both, you know, did some writing, and you were involved in kind of helping us along and bouncing ideas off you. And one of the things that we learned from you a while back is we were talking about shame and fear and what's feeling, you know, because men are comfortable with anger or something like that. And we were looking like, what's underneath the anger? And is it fear or is it shame? And one of the things you said that was pretty helpful to us is that the men have a fear of shame.
Mm-hmm.
And I was wondering if you could say a little more about that.
Sure.
Yeah.
I think it's very much connected to appearing weak or inadequate. Women, they... are less frightened of appearing weak.
Mm.
Men quickly go to shame on that.
Yeah.
And women have a different challenge. They believe they have to be good at everything.
Yeah.
They have to be a good lover. They have to be good in their employment. They have to be a good mother. They have to be a good cook. And they have to look beautiful doing all of those things. Whereas a man, if he knows the baseball statistics, he's got a spot, you know,
right.
in the group.
Right. So,
but appearing weak, that really is tough for men.
Yeah.
So it's in that area, I think.
Okay.
The fear of shame.
Yeah, so it's like the experience of shame, as we understand it, is one of the most difficult emotions to actually feel.
Mm-hmm.
It just radiates in your body and causes feels like all kinds of havoc in there. And I think that men, you know, I mean, I think it was James Gilligan, who's a forensic psychologist, who talks about interviewing men in prison. And he said there's some antisocials in there and stuff, but he said most of the men murdered because of shame. They'll do anything to not feel shame, including killing someone.
Mm-hmm.
And it was just his dramatic way of talking about men's relationship with shame. Don't make me feel less of a man, or I might have to kill you.
And it usually gets tested.
Yeah.
Men working with men.
Yeah.
It will get tested right away by the insulting game.
Yeah.
You have to be able to take an insult and you have to be able to deliver one or you don't have a place.
Yeah.
And it's much, much more with men than with women.
Mm-hmm.
The skill at delivering an insult and not being insulted.
Right.
You know?
So that's that. That's that. That banter.
Yes.
That you got to get good at. And again, I when I'm around men, I can go into that. Especially
sure.
men I've known for a long time. You can mock them about their foibles, and then they come back at you, and you can have fun with it. It's there's nothing inherently bad about it, but it does get to a point where it can get really hurtful and dangerous in some situations.
Uh-huh.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
It. They need to know where that line is.
Right.
And men are usually pretty good at assessing it.
Yeah.
And mm-hmm. women who can do it quickly can fit in with a group of men. I had a patient talking about working with a team that analyzes why the person died.
Right.
So that's pretty much a man's sport.
Yeah.
Anyway, she was in there and they were going back and forth. And one guy said, well, he'd been through 3 marriages. She said, oh, so you're not so good with women. And immediately she was accepted.
Right.
She could hit and he could handle it. So,
right. Yeah. Yeah. What about in marriages, you know, the kind of the old gender roles and stuff, and men, you know, used to, you know, provide, you know, roof over their head, you know, and bellies, food in their bellies and clothes on their back, and kind of that, the idea of kind of showing up in a greater way with children and their spouses and kind of the challenges around that. Have you seen some shifts around that?
Well, I've seen it shift in age groups.
Right.
Not much shifting in the maybe 60, 65 and older. That was how they grew up. That's
right.
What they saw their fathers do. That's how they found their own value. But
right.
among the millennials and Generation Z, even Generation X, it is shifting where mm-hmm. men who are 40 would have never, in my age group, I'm 70, been comfortable with their wives earning more.
Okay.
But I see more and more men who will stay home with the children and are very comfortable with their wives earning more. So that's shifting.
Yeah. And that's hopeful because I think it gives people a chance to negotiate, again, moving back to negotiating without gender being at the central part of it. You're a man, I'm a woman, so therefore you do this, I do that. It's more like, what are your skills? What are your needs? What are mm-hmm. your things you want to accomplish in life? And negotiating from that place. Rather than assign gender roles.
Mm-hmm.
Right?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yes. For both men and women.
Exactly. Right. So as we kind of begin to wind down, one of the things that you kind of were talking about earlier, and maybe it's kind of going back to a little bit, and is like sometimes as in the Men's Resource Center, someone would think it's a terrible business model to try to offer specialized services where it's part of being a man is not to ask for help. So it's kind of like, why are you trying to provide mental health services to people who don't want to ask for it? And so I'm wondering if a listener, a man is listening today and he's considering the prospect of counseling,
mm-hmm.
how would you encourage him to see that as an act of strength and courage to put himself in a place of doing that kind of self-examination and learning about emotions and all that?
Well, I would try to help him see it as a strength, as a skill, yeah. as a willingness to face his imperfections, mm-hmm. Which is what is the way I see it.
Yeah.
And that it's not a sign of weakness, and it will actually make him, it can make him, can help make him
right.
more appealing to other men that maybe he didn't have room for, and it'll certainly make for him to be more appealing to women.
Yeah.
And men are very interested in that latter, since women generally do the selecting
mm-hmm.
much more than men.
Yeah.
They have to be more selective.
Right.
In the past, I don't know if they have to be as selective as in the past, where they were highly dependent on marrying a good man who could take care of them and right. provide for them.
Right.
Less important now.
Right.
But
and so I think the big fear for a lot of guys is that they in moving in that direction of developing those skills, their fear is that they either are going to be emasculated or they'll lose their masculinity rather than seeing it as developing a fuller part of a fuller humanity and mm-hmm. cross training and that's what you see, I'm sure, as well, that as you work with doctors, attorneys, electricians, or whatever, they can still fish and hunt and be men and develop this other side of them, right? They don't
still
lose their...
do all the things associated in the past, with,
yeah,
as well as that more that undeveloped self,
yeah,
that they often haven't even thought much about.
Mm-hmm.
And men get excited, and I think having a men's resource center that is identified
right.
as a resource for men is terrific.
Thank
that's,
you.
That's part of why I got interested when I first met you.
Right.
Oh, man, here's somebody who's going to really identify yourself as helping men.
Right.
So.
Well, Socrates said, an unexamined life is a life not worth living.
Mm-hmm.
And you think about the, you know, really what an examined life is just it's self-reflection, it's introspection, it's curiosity. And that's a good life.
It's a very good life.
Yeah.
And men, once they catch on, yeah. and that's where I find having them like in a group therapy
yeah.
where they are hearing from other men,
right.
but they're also hearing from women.
Mm-hmm.
They're really encouraged when they talk about their feelings
mm-hmm.
and see that this is valued.
Right, right. So, well, Dr. Brink, I'm grateful to have had you in my life and continue to have in my life, and I really appreciate you taking the time to come and talk to
me
today.
My pleasure. I enjoyed this conversation.
All right.
So we'll have more of these, I'm sure.
Good. I hope so. All yeah. right. Thank All you. Right.
You're welcome.
Thanks for listening to another episode of Revealing Men. If you're looking for more information about counseling, coaching, and consultative services, please visit the Men's Resource Center of West Michigan online at menscenter.org. Also, feel free to contact us on our website if you have questions about this segment, ideas for a topic, or would like to be a guest on the Revealing Men podcast. Please take a moment to subscribe and leave us a rating so others can find us. Be well and have a great day.